That better? You can hear me? Good. Have you ever gone out or been on holiday and come home and all you want is a cup of tea? And when you have that first sip of a cup of tea, that's what God's doing this morning. He wants us to come and have a cup of tea. So we're at his feet, so bear that in mind. And when we look back, testimony is so powerful, isn't it? What we've heard this morning, testimony is so powerful. And we need to remember that those times when God's answered our prayers and we've been praying, and we've heard that this morning, and that's something that the disciples sort of lost sight of. But we'll read that. We'll read about it together, and then we'll look at it. So we're going to look at John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. It's something we know very, very well from the tiniest tot who's had it in flight as a little one. So Jesus feeds the 5,000. So we know this scripture, don't we? It's one we teach our children from the tiniest. It's one of the probably the one of the best known scriptures and the stories that's out there. Even people who don't come to church know about the feeding of the 5,000. But we see here it's a spiritual feast, and it left 5,000 people who were hungry full. And this morning, I sense Jesus is saying to us, if you're empty, if you're hungry, then you're going to leave here full. We know that Jesus had been very busy healing the sick and teaching the crowds. And he wanted to get away with his disciples up a mountainside for some rest and rejuvenation. We all know what that's like. We all know when it's been crazy, full on busy. You're tired, you're exhausted, you've got nothing left, you've given it out, you just want to go off, get a cup of tea, sit down, be in solitude. The feeding of the 5,000 shows how eager people were to spend time with Jesus and the lengths that they would go to get to him, to be close to him. You see, Jesus had got in a boat with his disciples and they were trying to withdraw and get away. But when the people saw him, they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived on ahead of them. So by the time Jesus was getting to the other side, the crowd was already there. Perhaps Jesus had three options then. One, to retreat to another place. One, to disperse the crowd. Or one, to give them what they came for. And we see that in verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them, because they seemed to be like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. They were trying to grab something of what Jesus was about. So Jesus chose to look outwards to the crowd, enabling him to perceive their needs and respond with compassion. He was the shepherd, and he wanted to tend the people, his sheep. He gave them words of life and loaves with fish. A feast, spiritually and physically. We are all called to partner with Jesus. He uses us to be part of the miraculous. We're commissioned to be the miracle makers alongside Jesus. He says to each one of us, feed my people. Nourish them spiritually and physically. He calls us to partner with him to feed the multitudes like a shepherd taking care of sheep. Jesus seeks to nourish the life spoken about in John 3. He envisages the food with which he wants to feed us as a banquet, not a bite, not a snack. And he invites us to enjoy. For Jesus, this banquet symbolizes his desire to share himself with us in the Word of God and in the actual physical food that we would eat. And it's evidenced here that there is no limit to what Jesus wants to share with us. Now, we all know that there's so many characteristics of Jesus, but one is generosity. And he's generous in sharing all he has and what he is with us. So if you can think for a minute what Jesus has already done for us individually and as a church, what has he already done for us? How much has he already given to us? And how has he ultimately wants to give us more to share with other people? Food's important to us. Who here does not like food? Not one hand. Food is very important to us. And throughout the Gospels, we know that food was very important to Jesus. He loved to gather people together over a meal. He loved going to weddings and parties, family gatherings. He loved dinner parties. He loved dining with those he loved. He dined with those that loathed him. Hospitality matters to Jesus. Now, sometimes there is a gift of hospitality. And I know friends that have got that, and it's amazing. And I do want that, but that seems to have passed me by. Make a good cup of tea, but, you know, hospitality matters to Jesus. And he takes it for granted that all the people, all that crowd, will eat with him. So we taught to pray for our daily bread. We know in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, he said, "Give us our daily bread." So basically, we're asking God to give us what we need for the day ahead, both the physical food and the spiritual food that nourishes our souls. And he set an example of compassion to the poor. When we look in James chapter 2, we read in 15 and 16, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith not accompanied by action is dead." So God gives not only enough, but more than enough when we ask him. So give what's in your hand. We've all got hands. If you haven't got physical hands, you've got other parts of your body that you can give. I don't mean literally give your body, but we've all got things that we can offer up. And it doesn't matter if it's a little or if it's a lot. Maybe it's an hour of your time. Maybe it's a weekend to support a children's camp. Maybe it's an evening to feed the homeless. Maybe it's half an hour to make tea and coffee. Maybe it's 5 minutes to pray and read your Bible or pray with someone. Nothing is too small, and God multiplies what we give. You see, God's not perturbed by volume or size, only that what is in our hand is frequently offered up. We give God thanks for what we do have, whether that's a little or a lot. And we will go through seasons where we have a little or we have a lot. We will go through seasons where we feel full or we feel empty. But if we offer what we do have, Jesus will multiply it and he will fill us to overflowing. I can remember being in Sunday school when I was about eight, I would say. And we used to sing a chorus that used to say, something, I don't know, there was one line, I can't remember it, that's why I'm not on the worship team either. My cup is full and overflowing, it runs over. You might know, Claire. I can't sing it, I'm not going to sing it. Yeah. And that's what God wants to say. He gives it to us, and then he gives more, and it runs over. So we never empty, he just keeps filling and filling and filling, as long as we keep going back to him and asking. You see, we recognise God's commission to every one of us to be miracle makers. But it's not always easy, is it? When he gives us something to do, and he gives us the wherewithal to do it, it's still tough sometimes, and it can even be discouraging. But it becomes part of the important part of our character formation, and we can't skip it or rush past it. As Christine said this morning about she tried to intervene, to step in front of God, he didn't want that for you, because in those 3 weeks, he was forming patience and other things. So it's something we can't rush or skip, even though we want to. And do you know what? Jesus didn't take a hold of us to live a beige, boring life and quietly die. He has taken hold of us to set us on fire with his passion for the lost, the poor, and the hurting. But how do we do it? Well, if we look at the disciples in this passage, we'll see. We know that Jesus asked Philip, Philip asked Jesus, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Actually, the other way around. But Jesus asked the question to see if Philip had a deep understanding and revelation of who Jesus was. You see, Philip was a very practical man. Some people are very practical. All these people to feed, where are we going to get the food from? And how much is it going to cost? You see, he was thinking in a very human way. And he was thinking in a very small way. He wasn't thinking God's way, kingdom way. And yet here's a disciple that had witnessed all the testimonies. He'd seen the water into wine. He'd seen people healed. He'd seen so many things happen. And yet here he's thinking, where are we going to get the bread from? I love him. 8 months' wages would not buy bread enough for each one to have a bite. So he wasn't even thinking like a sandwich. He wasn't thinking afternoon tea or a three-course dinner or packed lunch suitable for everybody. He was thinking of a bite. When you think of a bite, it's not very substantial, is it? I don't like bites, not unless I have lots of bites. So, you know, Philip was thinking even 8 months' wages would not buy a bite. So it's not 11s, like we said. It's just something tiny. And I just wonder sometimes, do we limit Jesus by our human worldview? You see, the disciples had been with him all that time and still they did not fully grasp who he was. They saw all those miracles. But you know what Jesus did? It was quite interesting. He actually hands the issue back to the disciples. And he says, "You feed them." In verse 37, it says, "You yourselves give them something to eat." So I think here Jesus is trying to test how they're going to respond. Will it be with faith and expectation that the people will be fed? Or, you know, and fed with anything that was offered? Or would they bow out? And then we see Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, obviously gone around the crowd and had found a little boy with his packed lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now, barley loaves signal somewhat of a poor heritage because they were using barley flour, which was more rough and it wasn't as smooth and as tasty. But do we notice here a child actually leads the way? The child offered up his lunch. I don't believe with 5,000 men, women and children and babies, that some of them would not have had something, even a squashed Alpen bar in the bag. Yeah? They would have had something to offer up, right? But they didn't. Or if they did, we didn't hear about it. But a child led the way. And that child handed over his lunch, put it into the hands of Jesus, who takes it, thanks God for it, blessed it, broke it, shared it. Now for us, I think we should not ever dismiss the children, no matter how young they are, because they are the next generation that will take forward the living legacy of Jesus to a hurting world. We need to show and teach our children in our community, in this church, in our families, how to feed themselves and how to feed others on the transforming word of God. On thanking God for the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks for it, he gave it back to the disciples and he said, "You feed them." And we can learn so much from the initial responses of the disciples who viewed the smallness of the packed lunch. The disciples seemed to have very little expectation of Jesus. If I was Jesus, I would have been really frustrated because they've witnessed all those amazing things and they still don't believe that he could feed all these people. And I just wonder, are we sometimes like that? We experience the abundance of God's provision. We have answers to big prayers and little prayers. We have prayers in waiting. We have the heritage prayers that our parents, grandparents, saints of God have prayed. And yet we don't remember those the next time we hit a crisis, the next time we're in a dark place. We don't recall very easily God's faithfulness to us and how he looks after us and how he is full of love for us and how he wants us to look forward facing the future, remembering the back, what's happened before and recalling. That's why testimony is so powerful. We are reminded that in Scripture that Jesus can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. And the work of Jesus is put into our hands. He will help us and he is with us and through us and can do immeasurably more than we can possibly imagine. But we need to remember he chooses to work through us. He doesn't need to work through us, but he chooses us to partner with him in the miraculous. The small offering of the boy's food fed many people. And God can make much of what we offer. Our attempts to live in his love and follow him are nothing without him. We're nothing without Jesus, are we? You know, what are we? We never know where our efforts to love or to help or to offer support to others may bear fruit. Like Anne said about her little granddaughter of 3 wanting to go to church. She couldn't because of chicken pox. And because she nagged her mum, she went to church. We never know where it will bear fruit. Maybe it's a glass of cold water given in love to someone. Maybe it's a meal cooked to feed the homeless. Maybe it's a hospital visit to someone who's sick, a prayer prayed to strengthen a person to keep being courageous when it's difficult. All these are multiplied when given and surrendered to Jesus. See, Jesus works with the little and feeds the multitude. It's like the yeast in the bread. You only need a little bit for it to have a maximum impact. And through his actions, Jesus reveals how God is towards us. He nourishes us. He cares for us. He lavishes everything on us. And he's concerned for our needs, our minutiae of needs. God expects us to come to the aid of one another and to share the little we have. Mother Teresa said about Jesus, "He uses us to be his love and compassion in the world, in spite of our weakness and frailties." So may we pray for the courage to risk giving even the little that we have. It's like the story in the Bible of the woman and the oil at Zarephath. She had just a tiny bit of oil and a tiny bit of flour, and she was going to use that as a last meal, and then she was going to be prepared to starve. And then Elijah came along, and God told the woman, told Elijah she had to use the flour, and it would never run dry until the famine ceased. And that's what happened. She used it, but it didn't dry out. And I have a similar experience, but different. When I was a minister, we had a barbecue and we catered for 75 people. We had 75 sausages and we had 75 burgers, one for each person. On the day, there was 120 people. I'm like, oh, what do you do? It's Sunday, we're just done the service. You can't just pop to Iceland and get a few more because you need to be out there cooking the stuff. And I prayed, and we there was a small team of us, and I prayed and said, do you know what? We've just got to cook what we've got, and we'll just have to go with it. And do you know what? At the end of it, we were cooking and we were serving. And at the end, 120 people all had a sausage and all had a burger. Nobody went to Iceland. Nobody went shopping. God provided the rest. Amen to that. Whatever little we've got, if we offer it up, God will bless it and he will use it. God has limitless resources. He has enough for us to do what God wants done. And Jesus reveals the abundance of God. We notice the focus, though, is on the poor and the needy. He chooses us to care with compassion and feed the people. For us as a church here and for churches together in Basildon, we do that in a very practical way. We look at the night shelter. We look at Project 58-7. We look at those teaching and leading small groups. We look at flight. We look at those on pastoral team, on the worship team. For others, it might be visiting the vulnerable. For others, God will use us in many diverse ways, even a humble cup of tea. When we listen to God's voice and hear him, he shows us how to feed the people. When you pray and ask where he wants to use you, be ready for the answer and write it down. Journal it, store it in your phone, store it wherever, and then look back. Because when you surrender your 5 loaves and 2 fish, watch how God will use it and multiply it. What's in your hand, he will use to feed the people. And I'm not just talking the physical food, I'm talking the spiritual food. See, Jesus is present in everyday encounters in our lives. He is present in those we meet every day, and especially in the poor, the marginalised, the vulnerable, and those in need of our help. When we reach out in compassion and love to them, we're also meeting Jesus. See, Jesus was able to live in a community of ritual and tradition. He accepted it, but he called people to look more closely, to see more deeply. In the scripture we read, Passover was approaching. And he moves the people he meets to the hillside to appreciate the meaning in a profoundly new way. One that would connect them, not just with the past, but with their neighbours and with a broader community. For some who were there and were fed, the miracle was for the moment and they would have forgotten about it a few weeks later. For others, they wanted Jesus to be king and they wanted to take him by force to make him king. For Jesus, he was aware of all that. But for him, it was a threshold to prayer. It was an invitation to spend time with God. The spiritual and often physical hunger of the world is screaming out for our attention. What can we do? We pray that God gives us a willingness to go beyond ourselves, to share what little resource we do have towards building a community where people love and care for one another deeply. The little lunch offered fed the huge crowd. We often feel we have very little to offer, so we don't offer it at all. What is offered in love, even though it looks small, can have large effects. Our prayers for family and friends and the hurting is a daily offering of love and care for those in our immediate circle. I would say we would probably all pray for our families and friends and our close people. Then we would pray for the community and the needs and the world and the universe. When we ask for God's help, we are inclined sometimes to be overwhelmed by the situations at hand, Brexit being one of them. When we're prone to despair, we need to pray that God will give us hope and intentionality. Going back into scripture, the Passover was approaching. And the Passover recalls how the Israelites were sustained and fed supernaturally with bread from heaven. You know the manna? And when people tried to hoard it, it went bad and it went off and there were maggots in it. So he gave to each person what they needed for that day. Sometimes, if we're in a desert place, we find ourselves overwhelmed, lost, empty. But God is close to us. He wants to lead us forward. He is very generous in his love, and he provides transforming food for us in the physical word of God and in the food that we eat. The word and the truth sets us free. The miracles happen when we go out and be Christ to a hurting community, when we do the work of Jesus with him. It's exciting and it's challenging, but God has placed every one of us right where we need to be, where we are right now, at home, at work, church, in the community, wherever we are, that is where we are placed. So we need to be encouraged, commanded, instructed, and offered to give our little. And we are commissioned to feed the people. In Matthew 18, Jesus commissioned us to go out into the world. And yes, he will give us the wherewithal and he'll bless it, but then he gives it back to us and says, you go do something. You feed the people. And I feel this morning he's saying to us that we need to feed the people. We feed ourselves and we feed the people. So what is it that you've got in your hand? What are your 5 loaves and 2 fish that you can offer up that he will bless? We give thanks for, and he will multiply. What will those look like in this church and in this community? If nothing's offered, then there's nothing to multiply. Simple maths. Naught times naught is naught. You have something little, God will multiply it. And we've seen it time and time again. And we know in John 3:16, which is the Message translation, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and that is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. What are our loaves and fishes that every one of us can offer up? Is it 5 minutes to pray? Is it to make a cup of tea? Is it to just sit at Jesus' feet and offer up our life and say, fill me again? And I know when the worship team come up just now, we're going to focus on that, of offering what we've got. We've all got something. We've got a building project. God has given this vision. What have we got to offer up? How can we go into the places we're at and feed the people? Sometimes it's by our actions, but sometimes we need to be ready to speak. In season and out, God said. So please, do not offer nothing, because God has given everything to you. for us. And we know as we approach Easter, through the cross, he gave up his one and only son to die for us. But he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay down. He rose from the dead. He's resurrected. The Holy Spirit came. We have the Holy Spirit all the time within us. So we don't have nothing to give. We all have something. So whatever the five loaves are and the two fish, God will cover with glory. God will bless it. And God will use it. Amen.